Are you interested in starting your own cash PT practice? Maybe a little side hustle practice right now because you're bored with what you do at work and you're seeing massive volumes of patients. I found the most success by going this route through a practice in a gym. And this is why I started the Gym PT Blueprint. The Gym PT Blueprint is really a program that shows you exactly how to be successful in the cash model, whether it's a side practice or you're diving head first like I did. This shows you exactly how to set your finances up correctly, how to set your practice up correctly, how to sell things, how to market yourself, and how to really convey your unique value to other people so that they'll want to pay you for it. If you are struggling to figure out how to set your practice up correctly, or if you're in practice and you're not making at least five figures a month at this point, you really should check out the Gym PT Blueprint. Head over to drdannymattei.com/products. That's drdannymattei.com/products to take a look at the Gym PT Blueprint and see how this program can help you become successful. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Mattei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And I'm taking a little bit of time to process a mastermind group that I was at this week, and I wanted to do a summary on that event because it was a really interesting couple of days for me, and I want to take a few days, process everything, kind of write a bunch of notes down, and give you sort of the dissemination of what I felt like I learned the most or the biggest takeaway points that I had from those 2 days. This mastermind was in San Diego. It was, today is Sunday. It was last Tuesday and Wednesday. And I flew back on a red eye to Atlanta. I got a little bit sick. So if I sound sort of like that or if I keep clearing my throat, that's what it is. I hate red eyes. They're the worst. And this guy next to me was coughing a whole bunch. And I knew he got me sick. If I could find him, I would let him know that, bro, you got me sick. That's probably all I would do, honestly. Because it happens. You know, it is what it is, man. But I got a little sick. So if it sounds a little bit weird, that's what's going on. But I have had some time to process this this information. And first of all, this was an absolute ton of information that was thrown at me in a couple days, and I'll give you a little bit of context to this mastermind. So I am in two mastermind groups. I'm in a local brick and mortar mastermind group, which is here in Atlanta, all entrepreneur group of business owners, and that ranges anywhere between $250,000 gross revenue all the way up to $1 billion gross revenue business. So there's about 300 businesses here in Atlanta, and I'm part of a mastermind group that is run here for that. Now, there's also a digital mastermind group that I'm a part of through the ClickFunnels group. So ClickFunnels was started by Russell Brunson, who is a marketer. He has this software platform called ClickFunnels, which I've talked about before. And it's a way for you to develop sales funnels or membership sites, opt-in pages, a whole bunch of different things. But they also have a big education side to their business. And the education side is a couple of things. They have digital products and stuff like that where, you know, you can buy a course and you can go through some things on your own. But I am a part of their mastermind group, and we get together twice a year. I guess technically this year it could be three times. And we also have some ongoing work that we do. And this is really to help to develop the digital side of what I'm doing, both at Athlete's Potential, but also with the consulting work and the mastermind group that I have and the digital products that I currently have as well as that we're working on. So in our business currently, half of our business is made up of our brick and mortar business, Athlete's Potential. The other half is made up of the digital business that that I've been working on for roughly the last year, and that has a couple different facets to it. You know, there's different kind of one-off products that people can get with training programs for different common injuries. We have a recurring revenue training program that we have as well. We also have the Gym PT Blueprint, which is a course that people can buy to learn how to start a practice in a gym and successfully go through that model the way that we did. We're working on a couple other digital products that have to do with the business side of things. And we also have our Mastermind, which is a group that I lead, which is about 15 people at this point. And help them really be able to scale from being a single provider in a cash practice to then grow to multiple providers and develop systems and an actual team around your business and create that long-term change, you know. And I'll kind of get into some of this, is that I feel like that's really important, but I feel like it's really, really necessary for me to reinvest in my own business education in these two areas because they're so different. So they're different, but there's some overlap. So I'm going to talk about sort of the biggest takeaways, but I spent 2 days in San Diego, excuse me, at a hotel that was in downtown. It was me and about 200 other digital entrepreneurs. I guess there was a couple people there that were like service-based local brick and mortar businesses. It would definitely apply, but mainly everybody was digital. So it was anything from e-commerce businesses where people did drop shipping of think like apparel or supplements, different products on Amazon. A ton of Amazon people were there. There were coaches and consultants, kind of like myself. So like doing digital products with either courses or kind of one-off products, or they had consulting services, you know, like we'll do some kind of one-off consulting work for specialized things somebody's having a problem with. And then also the Mastermind group. There's a lot of people there that were digital marketers and had digital marketing agencies. So think some things like Facebook ads or setting up campaigns for different other services. I ran into a couple people that do digital marketing for dentists and physicians. I ran into one physician that basically has a sports med clinic that's all cash-based, and he teaches physicians how to switch over to a cash-based model. So very similar to what I do for the physician realm versus physical therapy. So really interesting. We went from like 7 in the morning until about 9 o'clock at night on that Tuesday. It was a really long day. Just a lot of information getting kind of thrown at us. The next day we went from 7 to about 4:30, I guess. And you know, it was just, there's a lot. So I wrote a bunch of notes down, and this is an expensive group to be a part of. So what, you know, one of the things that as I get exposed to these things, and part of what I do with the podcast is talk about lessons learned in some of the mastermind groups that I'm associated with. But when you go to these big events, my goal is to really be able to disseminate this information down to you guys. You know, what I learned from it, the biggest kind of takeaways, and the mastermind group that I work with, it really comes down to, I'll take this information and then I'll actually start to kind of piece it together in a more organized fashion for how it can help them. And then I present it to them in a way where it can be more actionable for what we do. So that's really my goal with a lot of this stuff. It's not just for me personally, but mainly is how do I then take this information and be able to apply it to the group that, that I lead. So, okay. Big takeaway. Number one, you need to drive towards creating a team in your business. You cannot do everything on your own. Okay, so you need to drive towards creating a team in your business. You cannot do everything on your own. Now, I used to think that I could do everything on my own. You know, I was like, man, I can work at a pretty high clip. Like, I can go for a long time. I can work a lot of hours. You know, I used to think that, until I burned out after about a year and a half of doing that and realized that, no, I can't. You know, I mean, you could, but you would be very tired, and you would frankly bottleneck yourself. Because eventually what happens is, for you to be able to scale and grow, you have to have other people around you. And most people are in this kind of mindset initially. They're like, oh man, you have this thing that you're having to repeat. right? Let's just say it's sending an email newsletter. You're like, oh man, I got to send this email newsletter every week. And yeah, you know it's important, but it's like, damn, this thing takes me 30 minutes to put together or whatever, to find these pictures and write the copy and all that stuff. But it's going to take me forever to teach somebody how to do it. So I'll just do it myself, even though I've got maybe an administrative person or a part-time administrative person that could help me with it. But I'm just going to do it myself because I don't want to have to teach them. It would take too long and I can do it faster. That's true. Maybe you can do it faster. But how many times do you need to have somebody else do that to be able to then get a positive return on your time by teaching somebody else how to do that repeatable task? And this is really important to think about, because these tasks that we do on a repeating basis are things that other people could do if you can train them appropriately to do so. And this is something that they brought up quite a bit, talking about repeatable tasks and why you need systems in place and how to actually properly train people. Because realistically, if you are the only person in your business, and let's say you have a cash PT practice, the most that you could probably get to and sustain is about 120 patient visits a month. Now, you may be more than that in some cases, but honestly, the most you're going to be able to sustain is probably 120. And then it just becomes a variable of how much you're charging, which you can make good money. Don't get me wrong. Like, you can make really good money per month by yourself, you know, if you charge a good hourly rate. The problem is, there's no business there, right? You've just created a job for yourself. And not only that, you're going to start to resent it because you're going to have a lot of just needs in terms of having to constantly meet the demands of your patients. You're not going to have a very flexible schedule. And when you're out of town, you're not going to make any money, right? I mean, that's one of the things that I think is so important about building a true business. Like, I took a screenshot of our revenue Monday. I flew from, you know, Atlanta to San Diego, and I left my house about 9 o'clock. I got in San Diego around, I guess it was around like 1:30, 2 o'clock. So it was about 4:30, 5 o'clock East Coast time, which is when our office is closed that day. And I took a screenshot of it and I sent it to my wife, and I sent it to somebody on our team for our business deal. And, you know, I said, this is where people need to be able to get. Like, I was on a plane all day long, and we made thousands of dollars in our business without me being there. And it's because the people that we have are trained. They understand. Like, they're part of a team. They know what's going on. They know what they're expected to do, and it happens. So that's really important, because long term, if you don't have a team, then really all you have is yourself. And if you ever get into a position where you can't work, you've basically put all your eggs into one basket, and that is a very risky thing to do. Very risky, because all your revenue is basically based on you. I remember when I was the only person in my business, like, I was very apprehensive to do anything that I thought I might get hurt doing. You know, I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. No way, not doing that. I mean, I would go jump out of an airplane when I was in the Army. No problem. Because, hey, if I get hurt, I'm still getting paid, right? I'm not jumping out of an airplane when I'm the only one seeing patients. If I jump out of that airplane and I get hurt, man, it's no money's coming in, right? And I got to put food on the table for my family. So you have to try to drive towards a team and building a team and look at that long term. Don't just look at short term, what revenue numbers you want to get to. That's all fine and good, but you have to eventually work towards building a team. Otherwise, you're going to bottleneck yourself. And the other thing is, people out there are better at things than you in different areas. What I mean by that is, some people are much, much better at organizing things. Some people maybe are better at sales. Some people maybe are better at marketing. You have to figure out what you're really good at and figure out who is better at things than you are, and then try to bring them onto your team. They have this concept of creating your Avenger team. Who do you want your Avenger team to be? Who do you want to be, like, these people that are subject matter experts in these different areas? That's who you want to start to add to your team and try to build a team that can really have infrastructure and grow and develop revenue when you are not there, because that's a true business, not necessarily a job. Now, in order to build a team, you need to have systems. And systems are made up of three things. So the second big takeaway was, you have to have systems and proper systems in order to create repeatable tasks that drive businesses. So a system is made up of three things. It's people or a person, a process, and a tool. Okay, so we have a lot of software tools these days. We have a lot of options for different things. For instance, we use MindBody as our management system. So we can document in that, we can schedule people, we can take payment. There's automated emails that can go out to let people know when they have appointments. We can do a bunch of stuff with it. But that tool by itself does us no good unless we have a person that's going to run it and a process that they can follow in order to make sure that it is consistent. So the way that we book people, the way that we make sure people know when their appointments are, the way that we check people out, all of that are processes that are then followed by people, primarily our office manager, and a tool, which is MindBody, right? So you can have, you know, any number of different things. You could have social media. So, okay, I want to have consistent Facebook posts for our business. All right, cool. Facebook is a tool. Now you have to have a process. You have to document how you want those posts to be made in some way that somebody can then pick up and know what to do correctly. And then you have to have a person that does it, right? So that could be an administrative assistant. That could be a virtual assistant. That could be, a social media specialist, whatever you want. But it has to have these three parts in order for that to be a repeatable system that's going to be able to drive your business. So you can't just have tools, you can't just have these cool software applications. Like, those really mean nothing if you don't have people driving it and a process that can be repeatable. But you have to have systems, otherwise there's no consistency within your business. People will do whatever they assume they're supposed to do, and in many cases, they pick the wrong thing. Not intentionally, not because they're trying to be a bad employee, but because there hasn't been enough training in place where they understand what their roles are within that system. So you have a person, you have a process, and you have a tool. If you want to scale, this is number three, by the way, if you want to scale past 5 figures a year, you have to have a platform. Now, I'm actually referencing digital products in particular right now. So this is what I thought was interesting. They fully believe, the presenters at this mastermind group fully believe that you can hustle your way primarily on social media to 5 figures a year in digital revenue. In particular, they're talking about digital products or courses. Okay. So let's say you have a course on, ACL prevention for female soccer players. Okay. You could have you can get in different Facebook groups or, whatever parents and local community and have this digital product that you could hustle your way into, 5 figures a year in digital product. Now, I'm assuming they mean low 5 figures, not high 5 figures, but definitely you can get sales via hustling in person and having this digital platform in place. This is how actually the first back course that I had started. I had developed this back course for a back injury that I had, and then I started having people that would reach out to me that wanted to do work with me, but they were kind of like not close at all. And they kept, all right, well, give me a recommendation for somebody to go to. Instead of giving them a recommendation for somebody to go to, in many cases, I would say, hey, you should try this program first. Like, this is a program I put together. It's 6 weeks. If this doesn't work out, at least you'll have like a lot of the baseline work done. Then go see somebody. Maybe probably, save yourself some visits. And it's about $100. And that's how I first started selling digital products was these courses that I put together, these programs, short programs I put together for common injuries. And when people reach out to me, in many cases, if they were in town, I would send them their way. Or if they didn't feel like they could afford what we were charging, then I would recommend that. So I would agree with that. We definitely got to 5 figures selling those products without necessarily having a big platform trying to push them. Now, to get past that, you have to have a platform. Now, that platform can be any number of different things, but you have to have a platform in order to really grow a digital presence. So let's say you have this female ACL soccer player prevention program, right? And let's say it's 6 weeks and it's $100. You know, you have to have a platform to get in front of the people that are going to pay attention to that. So in that case, it's going to be either A, the female soccer players, which is probably not going to be the case because there's probably not a lot of 12-year-olds that are listening to that. So you're probably going to have to get in front of their parents. So if somebody has a 12-year-old, you got to think they're probably in their 40s, right? Maybe younger than that. I guess it could be mid-30s. Depends when they had kids. But I would say a safe bet would probably be between your mid-30s and your 50s. They have to be interested in youth sports or soccer or any number of things. But you have to develop a platform that you could then get in front of them. Now, there's different ways to do that. It could be YouTube, right? You could have videos where you're describing different drills to help with that and talking about ACL prevention and all that. And like people, when they get on Google, they're going to search ACL prevention for my 12-year-old daughter, and they see your video, and then that video links them to your website, and your website has an opt-in, you know, clickbait or whatever, or your product is there, and they're like, oh man, this is great. Yeah, I need to get this for my daughter. They download it, and boom, you get $100. Because you have a platform and they've seen it. Maybe you have a podcast and you talk about, you know, soccer development in youth females, and they get to your product that way, you know, and end up going back to a website or some sort of digital platform of some kind besides that. But you have to have a platform because you have to develop a group of people that resonate with what you're saying and are interested enough to want to buy what you have to say or teach, right? And I tell you what, I was shocked when I made my first digital sale. I remember not when I was just like hustling and, you know, telling people that were in wherever, you know, Texas that didn't want to come to Georgia to come work with me, that they should try a program I'd put together. But I remember when I first did my first kind of like campaign of digital ads, and then I had somebody purchase something that I had put together, I was just like blown away that it actually worked, you know? And what's interesting is the world's a big place, right? Like there's a lot of people out there, not just the world, but the US is a big place. Okay. There's a lot of people that we could help, and there's a lot of people willing to buy stuff online now that maybe 10, 15 years ago wasn't going to happen. So what's interesting about this is this could be an entire different revenue stream for pretty much anybody listening to this podcast. And not only do I feel like it could be a different revenue stream, I almost feel like in some ways you have to create some other variation of a revenue stream. It could be with real estate. Maybe you have rental properties with some sort of passive revenue. It could be digital products. I highly recommend, if you haven't done this yet, to read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And this is a book I read quite a long time ago. I was still in college. I actually had somebody give me this book, and I didn't really quite get it at the time. I actually read the book, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, this guy kind of seems like he's just trying to sell me a game. You know, the game's called Cash Flow, and it's sort of like Monopoly in a way. But the goal of the game is this. The goal of the game is that you get given an occupation, and the occupation could be police officer, could be physician, whatever it is. You get a base salary, right? So let's say the police officer is making $3,000 a month and the physician's making $10,000. Now, you would think, oh, the physician's in a better position to, you know, to win this game. What the game is to get your passive revenue to be more than what your costs per month are. So if you can get passive revenue to replace your cost of living, then you win the game. You're out of what's called the rat race. Now you have positive cash flow from passive revenue. So with a physician, like their cost of living is a lot higher. They're going to be in a nicer house. They're going to drive a nicer car. They're going to send their kids to a private school, whatever. But they're going to have a higher cost of living in most cases. Maybe the police officer is lower. So he's got to replace $3,000 a month in revenue or income, and the other guy's got to replace 10. So a lot of it is about, okay, what options are you going to take? I'm going to buy a rental house. All right. Oh, I'm going to invest in this thing, or I'm going to start a business on the side. And like all of that really comes down to your ability to create revenue streams that can replace your salary. And in many cases, the less you have to do, the more passive that revenue is, and the more, you know, the better that revenue really is long term. So digital products, what's interesting about that, and I've actually, you know, this is something that we were looking at putting together kind of a digital blueprint of how to really get your first product out there and what options there are. And I really do think that there's pretty much anybody can do this. It's not easy, just like starting a regular business. A digital business is not easier than a brick and mortar business. In my opinion, I think a brick and mortar business is easier than a digital business. And I've done both at this point. So, but it's also, it's more leverageable in certain ways because you have more kind of time freedom to do different things. The whole idea of like, oh man, you can make money while you sleep. That's sort of true and it's sort of not true. Okay. So, digital products take a bunch of effort on the front end, a ton of effort on the front end. And you're not maybe always right. Like you can do certain things to make sure you're more right than you are wrong. But if you put all this time and energy into some digital course and nobody buys it, you've wasted a ton of your time and probably resources. It's probably been pretty expensive for you to do that. Now, if let's say you put a bunch of time in on the front end and this sells pretty well, and let's say you make an extra $1,000 a month, and you have a $100 course, right? So you sell 10 of these a month. Yes, you literally might be sleeping and wake up in the morning and look on your email and see that somebody bought something that you have out there in the interwebs. This happens to me. I still get excited when this happens. My wife is annoyed by this at this point because I'll show her my phone. And I mean, to this day, I still get emails every time that I get a purchaser of anything that we have. And I will literally send them a personal email thanking them for purchasing whatever it is and asking them, you know, how they found out about it. If there's anything else that they need from me, just to let me know. I see it as no different than a physical product or a service like we have. I would do the same thing for a new patient that we have. So the thing with digital products is, like I said, the world is a big place. The U.S. is a big place, and you can almost do a digital product on anything. And I'll give you a couple examples. So at this conference that I was at, there was a couple that was there, and they were both nurses. And they had a couple kids. If you know anything about nurses, like they tend to work kind of difficult swing shifts. They're working at night, or they're working long 12-hour shifts that really turn into like 13 or 14 hours. So they had done that, and then they basically wanted to try to replace one of their income and let the other one not have to work by taking travel nursing jobs. So as they did this, they realized, okay, I can make better money as a travel nurse. And but it seems like there's these big contracts, and the contracting companies are the ones that are, you know, they're making a big margin off of this. What if we can get our own contracts at different hospitals? Maybe we, you know, could we increase our hourly pay by housing that whole contract, not a portion of it, and then it go through some sort of headhunter kind of contracting company. So that's what they figured out, and they figured out a way where they could get their own contracts. They basically almost doubled their salary, and now they don't even work as nurses anymore. They teach other nurses how to do the same thing in an online course. So they teach nurses in an online course how to develop their own contracts to do travel nurse jobs to help increase their income. And, you know, I definitely wouldn't have thought, oh, that's a no-brainer digital product right there. That's a course, right? But think about how many nurses are out there. Think about how many nurses there are that have families that don't want to work 12-hour shifts or work nights and then days and then nights and then days. And how just much that can burn them out, especially if they have kids, we can get really challenging. The guy that I sat next to for those 2 days, really interesting guy. He was a consultant for Deloitte, which is a huge consulting company. And he had been with them for a long time. He had been with them for 15 years. So he got out of undergrad with a degree in business, smart dude, went to an Ivy League school, went and went to start working for this consulting company. They sent him back to get his MBA. So got an MBA from a really well-known school as well, and came back on, was a director, and basically gave him an opportunity to come in as a partner in those companies. So a partner in a company like that is actually an extremely high-paying job that has crazy benefits. You basically get your salary when you retire at 62. You get like 100% of your salary as a pension for the rest of your life, plus healthcare. So, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars, not to mention your partner distribution. They're very lucrative to become a partner in a big consulting firm like this. So the problem was he was extremely burned out on all the travel associated with consulting. So consultants, if you're not too familiar with what they do, they take these projects, they go out and they start working for different companies and helping them develop whatever they're working on. So it's like hired help, but it's for bigger projects. So big companies use consultants all the time. So it kind of helps leverage their workforce a little differently. So this guy would work on projects. He would leave on usually a Monday morning or a Sunday night and come back on a Thursday night every week. And he did that for literally over a decade, right? And the problem was his health started to deteriorate. He had a hard time with personal relationships because he was always gone. He could never really be in a kind of stable position. It became really challenging. And he started to realize, like, man, my health is suffering. My relationships are suffering. I don't think this is worth it. And if I sign up to be a partner, I'm going to be traveling even more. I'm going to have even more stress on me, and more hours are going to be demanded of me. Even though the money is good, it's like it's not worth the sacrifice of my body and my health. So he has a course that he developed, and he actually has a group that he runs. And the group costs $15,000 a year, and he basically helps these consultants leave their consulting positions and start their own kind of freelance businesses for the most part, to use the skill set that they developed as a consultant to then leverage that into a business that they can do on their own, and they can have a lot more flexibility of what they do, and in many cases do that much more remote where they're not having to travel as much. So he has a course that he does with that, and then he has a group that he leads as well. And you know, I thought these two things were really interesting because it was all about, you know, how do we create an opportunity kind of change, opportunity shift for these people that are in jobs that are really demanding. You know, take what I do, for instance, with the Gym PT Blueprint. So for PTs out there that are, you know, seeing 30 patients a day and they're frustrated and they're wondering if they should have gone to PT school in the first place and gotten all those loans just to do a job that they didn't, they turns out they don't really enjoy, working with geriatric populations versus athletes, which they thought they were going to work with, or at least more athletic people. You know, that doesn't include all the documentation that goes into that. So they're working 10, 11 hours a day, writing a bunch of notes, and they feel more like a waiter than they do a physical therapist. They're not really using their hands the way that they thought they would. They're not progressing. They're not getting any mentorship necessarily. They're just sort of plugged in, and they're just generating, you know, value units that they can bill for their employer. And that is a challenging place to be a year or two out of school. You know, sometimes people are even more than that. They hit a wall, they get really frustrated, and then they start to try to figure out, what else can I do? You know, and when I talk about the opportunity of doing your own thing, replacing your income, seeing a fraction of the amount of people that you're having to see now, getting better outcomes, getting in to enjoy being a physical therapist again, this is what I think is really kind of profound for most people. Our job is amazing. If you can do it correctly, it's one of the most fun, enjoyable jobs ever. It's great. But the problem is, high volume insurance practices don't let you use your skill set the way that you can most effectively, and it's the most enjoyable for you to do. So setting yourself up in a practice, like a cash practice in a niche, allows you to enjoy being a physical therapist again, to get back to enjoying your career, to get back to enjoying what you spent so much time and energy and money going to learn how to do. And that is an opportunity shift. That is a different position that they can put themselves in. You know, it's not, hey, how do I see 30 patients more efficiently? It's, hey, how do I change the whole scenario? Put myself in a position where I'll be much happier and be able to replace my income at the same time. That's the same. That's the thing that all of these have in common. It's creating an opportunity change for people. And if you can do that, then you have a viable course in many cases, or a viable product that you can help people with, and it can help can help them, but also it can generate business revenue for you as well, which is the goal. We want to have, you know, these digital products really need to be able to help people. You can't just slap some shit together and have some slick marketing, because eventually it's going to bite you in the butt and you're not going to be in business very long. So the world's a big place. You can do a digital product on almost anything. And the last thing that I would say, and this applies to both digital and brick and mortar businesses, is that scarcity is the most important element in marketing. Now, it's sort of hard for us in some ways to have scarcity in our patient schedules for brick and mortar, right? I did this inherently early on, and I actually teach this to people in the GMPT Blueprint and my mastermind group, that early on, if your schedule is not busy, not fully booked, then you need to limit the number of hours you have to make it look like it is. So, you know, if you say, somebody's like, yeah, no, I'd like to come see you. Like, when can I see you? And you say, I'm pretty much free all week. When's good for you? Now, that's not necessarily all that enticing for me to want to come and work with you, right? It's sort of like, you always want to date the person that's too busy dating other people to even give you the time of the day, right? So versus if you have your schedule condensed down into 2 days, you can say, oh man, well, I've got this time on this day and this time on this day. That's all I've got this week. We can look at next week if you can't make one of those times work. Now all of a sudden they're like, well, let me move some stuff around. I'll cancel this meeting and I'll I'm going to come in for this one because I don't want to have to wait. And that ability to have some scarcity on your schedule is huge in terms of marketing yourself and people making a buying decision, right? Now, scarcity in terms of digital marketing, it may be that we have a limited amount of time that we're going to let you decide if you want to do something or not. This is actually something that we just started with the GMPT Blueprint. So if you were to go to the sales page, you would see a countdown clock. And the countdown clock is an actual countdown clock. It is actually called a deadline funnel. And when that is done, you actually can't buy it anymore. So you have 4 days from the time that you look at it. Is it right for you? Is it not? If not, then you can get added to a wait list, but you cannot purchase it whenever you want. And that allows us to have some amount of scarcity involved, where people have to make a decision in a short period of time, otherwise they procrastinate. And that's the way that we're built, man. Everybody procrastinates, so we have to create scarcity in some way in our marketing. We do this as well with a open enrollment campaign that we do. So this is something that we started a few years ago, and we're actually about to put a digital product out on this. It's a patient reactivation campaign that we do every year called Open Enrollment. And we did this initially because we wanted to try to offset the cash flow changes at the end of the year that happen with the cash practice. So everybody's traveling, everybody's buying Christmas presents. Not everybody wants to work on their back pain in December. And that's just the way it is. So you'll see that your revenue will drop, you know, a decent amount in the month of December. So we thought, all right, well, how can we offset that by reactivating old patients? And the way we did that was in October, we decided that we were going to have this open enrollment campaign, which we just called it that because it sounded sort of medical, where we basically had like a special offer or two special offers that people could get for a 5-day period. And then after that, they were closed. So the first year, it went pretty well. I think we reactivated, 5 or 6 patients, and that was about $6,000 in revenue for us that we reactivated. And it's paid up front. So in that 1 week, we were able to, you know, recapture about $6,000 in patient revenue from previous patients, so not necessarily finding new patients. The year after that, our second year doing it, it was even better. I think it was like somewhere in the range of around $20,000 that we were able to do in that 5-day period, reactivating old patients. We kind of streamlined our system a little bit better. And this past year, it was even better. And people, the funny thing was, people actually started to ask us, hey, when's open enrollment going to be this year? Because as they were getting ready to, you know, they wanted to, like, you know, buy a big package with us or something like that. Like, hey, when's open enrollment? I want to wait to see what these special offers are. Because we only do some sort of discount special offer once a year during this 5-day period. And we were able to do closer to $60,000 in reactivated patient revenue in 2017 using the same campaign. So the reason, one of the reasons that works so well is because there's scarcity built in. Scarcity, people know that it's coming. You know, it's crazy. It's huge how much beneficial, or how much more beneficial it is whenever you do that versus saying, yeah, no, you can just do this whenever you want. It's always available. That changes things quite a bit. Think about it. Your own buying behaviors. Think about that. And, you know, really, really think about how that could apply to your own business, right? So last thing really is scarcity is the most important element in marketing in order to make somebody, have somebody make a buying decision, right? So that's my takeaways from this 2-day event. I will be meeting again with this group in October. So I'll have more good information for you there. If you're interested in any of this stuff, you know, I'd love to hear from you. If you're interested in digital products and learning more about that, you can shoot me an email at danny@athletespotential.com. You can hit me up on Instagram at DannyMateyPT. That's Facebook as well. Should be the same thing. So Instagram, though, is probably the easiest place to hit me up from a message. If you guys are real interested in this stuff, then yeah, like I said, we can do more content on this and try to teach you as much as we can. It's really interesting element of what we can do now in terms of adding additional revenue stream to our business, or maybe it turns into your standalone business in some cases. But the digital stuff's cool. I think it's super scalable. I think it's there's a lot of different variations that you can do with it, and it can free up your time a little bit, but add an additional revenue stream. And honestly, even something as small as $1,000 a month, like what does an extra $1,000 a month do to your life? You know, what does that do to you and your family's lives? Does it let you pay your student loans off faster? You know, does it let you pay your mortgage easier? Does it let you guys go on a sweet vacation a couple times a year? You know, does it let you create a better savings buffer for you guys, an emergency fund to invest for the future in, you know, whatever it is that you want to invest in? An extra $1,000 a month can do a lot for you. And making an extra $1,000 a month in a digital platform is not as hard as it sounds. So anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed this one. Let me know if you have any questions. I've got Eve Gigi coming into town here in the next couple weeks. So we're going to have a bunch of content we're going to pump out, you know, with he and I kind of talking over some strategies that we see that are working, and trying to help you guys be successful in these cash PT practices. As always, I appreciate all of you for listening to this podcast. It's crazy every time that I'm around other PTs. I always have somebody come up to me and tell me, you know, hey, I really enjoyed the podcast. I actually met a PT at my friend Teresa Larson's practice. And, you know, she said something about, hey, I enjoy the podcast. And every time I hear somebody say that, I'm always blown away that people actually even listen to this damn thing. And I mean, I see the download numbers. I know people do, but it's just crazy that people are actually interested in what I have to say. I appreciate everybody listens to it. Thank you so much. I mean, we try to give you everything we can. I'm not holding anything back. I mean, this is my goal is to help you just be as successful as possible in physical therapy, practices, businesses, whatever it is that you want to do. And allow that to give you the personal satisfaction, time freedom, financial freedom to be able to really enjoy your life, enjoy the ones around you that you work so hard to be around, and to create financial and time freedom for yourself. So, guys, I hope you enjoy this. Thanks so much for listening, and we will catch you soon.
Hey, real quick before we go, I just want to say thanks so much for listening to this podcast. If you're one of the people that's already headed over to iTunes and left me a review, I really appreciate it. There's been over 50 iTunes reviews, and all of them being 5 stars, that have been left on this podcast since we started in August. That's awesome. And I read every single review. I take every little piece of advice that you give me in there, any criticism, any positive feedback that you have, I read all of it. And it's amazing to see that we're even getting reviews internationally at this point. So if you're one of the people that's reviewed the podcast, thanks so much. If you're an active listener of this podcast, I highly, highly encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and go to iTunes and leave me a short review. I'd love to hear what you have to say, and it really does help me get this information in front of more people. So guys, thanks again for your time, and keep listening.